1224. Page 1224, we'll be reading verses 8 through 13. We'll read these six verses responsively. The 12th verse is the text verse. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's word. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this marvelous, wonderful day. A day when we can gather in this building as a family. And now minister to our needs. Bless, we pray, and speak with power through our preacher. And help us to listen with Holy Spirit awareness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall we be known, or I shall be known, even as I am also known. I want to speak this morning on the subject, what are the departed Christians doing now? What are the departed Christians doing now? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of being a preacher, and thank you for the joy of pastoring this great people. And thank you for Sunday and the privilege of coming to meet together to think of things eternal. This morning we could think of nothing more eternal than our subject. I pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning in a real and clear way. Accomplish thy purpose and thy will in our lives. May Jesus be dearer, may heaven be nearer, because we've come. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Mother's Day. I'll be quite frank, I would love to preach just a Mother's Day message. Perhaps my message this morning will have somewhat application for what could be more appropriate to Mother, or more close to our hearts when many of us think of Mother, than heaven. What is my mother doing today? Early this morning, I was at the cemetery, and I was spending a few moments in thanksgiving to my mother and for her life, and placing some flowers at her place of burial. And I wondered, as I wonder every time I go there, what is she doing right now? Maybe you wonder the same thing about your mother. Maybe you wonder the same thing about your father. Perhaps you wonder the same thing about your husband who preceded you to heaven. Or maybe you've wondered about a baby who's there. This morning I got a note from one of our members who was talking about how difficult it had been in the last few days because of the memory of the anniversary of a little boy who went to heaven from her arms not long ago. What are they doing in heaven? Now, I'll be quite frank with you. I just don't think everybody up there is shouting all the time. I just don't think that all they're doing up there is singing praises to God all the time. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to shock the daylights out of you. I love to go to church. That doesn't shock the daylights out of you, but this does. I wouldn't want to go to church all the time. I want to go Sunday morning. I want to go Sunday night. I want to go Wednesday night, and I'm in church most every night of the week preaching somewhere. But there are other things besides just going to church. There is a place to serve. Going to church does not feed the hungry. Going to church does not win the unsaved to Christ. I'd hate to think that all they do in heaven is just sing the Hallelujah Chorus. Now, I like the Hallelujah Chorus. Love it. But I wouldn't want to sing it over and over again 50,000 years. I mean, I want some diversion. And I'm not one that for a minute thinks that my mama, ever since September 20th, has been up there just singing all the time. Truth is, unless her voice has improved, it did not enhance the glories of heaven when she got there, as far as the sounds are concerned, because God did not give my mother the melodious voice that He gave to her son. Her voice was more like her daughter's. But now, the truth is, I don't think that all we do in heaven is wear a crown. Now, I plan to wear a crown when I get to heaven, but to quite frank with you, to wear a crown all the time weighs several pounds. It'd be awful hard to wear a crown all the time. All of that, I want to show off my head of hair that I'm going to have when I get there. But I don't think that all they do in heaven is wear a crown. I like July 4th, but I wouldn't want July 4th to be every day. I couldn't stand all that noise. I love Thanksgiving Day, but I wouldn't want 365 of them a year. I love Christmas, but I couldn't afford 365 of them a year. Now, the truth is, what are they doing? What's our mama doing now? In heaven. What's your loving doing? Let me give two statements and then explain what I mean. Statement number one, we will be just as different in heaven as we are different now. After God has made a nature, He never eradicates the characteristic of that personality. Did you hear what I said? After God has made a nature, He never eradicates the characteristics of that personality. Conversion plants new principles in the soul. But Paul and John are just as different in heaven now as they were on earth 2,000 years ago. Conversion does not change the prominent characteristics of a temperament. When a person gets saved, he still has the same temperament. New principles come, but He's the same person. God never changes the characteristics of a personality. So we continue the same type of temperament after conversion. And the Bible says that we shall be known even as we're also known. Death does not change your interest. Going to heaven does not change your good appetite. Going to heaven will not change your basic disposition or the characteristics of your personality. Let me illustrate. Listen carefully now. Here's a person that loves the arts on earth. I don't think the painter is going to drop his easel or the sculptor is going to drop his chisel when he gets to heaven. I think he'll still like the art. Now, I'm quite frank with you, one brief look at a piece of sculpture is all I need. I mean, if a guy doesn't move, I want to move on myself. If I see Grant on a horse, and the horse won't move and Grant won't talk, I want to go to a horse that'll move and somebody will talk. Now, I like sculpture quickly, hurriedly, but I see these nuts. People who stand there and gaze at that thing for an hour. And me, if I gazed at it an hour, I wouldn't see anything that I didn't see right away. I'm, for example, I'm not a museum person. I just could care less. I mean, old rocks don't impress me anymore. New rocks do. And we went to the museum in Egypt, and at beautiful Egyptian museum. I mean, to me, one old sword's like all old swords. If you've seen one shrunken head of a mummy, and this is Mummy's Day, you know. I didn't intend to say that. Delete that from the record, please. But to me, if you've seen one of those little heads, you've seen them all. And one look at one of them, I don't like those eyes looking back at me. I'm just not a museum type person. But folks who are lovers of the arts on earth will still be lovers of the arts when they get to heaven. And the truth is, they will not drop their easels, nor their chisels, nor their brushes. They will have even a keener interest when they stand where sunsets and rainbows are woven than they have on earth. Raphael will improve his masterpiece of Michael the Archangel, for in heaven, if he's there, he's seen Michael and can improve his masterpiece. Raphael can improve his masterpiece of the Holy Family, because if he's in heaven, he's been visiting them for a long time. I think he still works on the arts like he always did. If Michelangelo is in heaven, I think that he has improved on his last judgment, because he's heard the rumblings of its thunder in the origin of all punishment. They will have grander studios and brighter galleries. What I'm saying is, I think that in heaven we'll be occupied much as we've been occupied on earth. Here's a group of people who passionately love music. Now, I love music, but don't love it like Miss Colston does. I love music, but don't love it like Brother Wardway does. I love it, but I mean, I just the music faculty at the college loves it a bit more than I love it. I love it, but there are those who passionately on earth love music. Well, it'll still be their cup of tea in heaven. The organist will sit at heaven's console and think of the concerts to attend. Grand old Haydn was carried for the last time into the music hall, where he heard his own oratorio called Creation. They came to that famous passage, "Let there be light." And they came to that famous passage, and the oratorio came, "Let there be light." People stood and they cheered, rose and cheered. And as the old Haydn left the concert center music hall for the last time, he pointed his fingers that way and said, "It came from there. It came from there. Where all good music originated. It came from there." What is the first? They sang a while ago. Sweet Hour of Prayer. I have no doubt that my mother sings Sweet Hour of Prayer for a while today. I don't think she sings it all the time. But what her interests were here, her interests are there. What she loved to do here that's right and decent to do, she loves to do there. The musician can pursue his musical career there in the place which is the headquarters of harmony. Music was born in heaven. Originates in heaven, made in heaven. I'm saying that heaven, as I've often said, heaven is not a bunch of blonde-haired, long-haired people wearing kimonos, waving magic wands, sprinkling spoofle dust all over golden streets, singing holy, 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 holy. Heaven's a place, has real streets, has real houses, has real trees, has real people who have real flesh and real bone and live in real places, and has a real river which has in it real fish. And it is a real place where we'll live and be occupied and be employed And our employment in the heaven will be much like it is on earth. Our interest will not change. You'll be the same type of personality. We shall be known even as we're also known. Person's a music lover here, music lover there. Person employs himself with music here, employs himself with music there. Person employs himself with art here, employs himself with art there. Now, there's some people not inclined. Now, they love music, but not fanatically. And they love art, but not fanatically. They're inclined to mathematics. To them, there's more poetry in Euclid than there is in Milton. They like mathematics. Like Plato, who wrote over his door, "Let no one enter here who is not acquainted with geometry." I could have gotten halfway through the door. But the truth is, what are they doing now? A person that spent his life as an accountant. What is he doing in heaven? Well, my soul, same interest he had here. They live in a land of numbers, of infinite distance, and of infinite numbers and infinite calculations. Can you imagine what the mathematician would do in heaven? Same thing he does here. And how about historians? What are they doing? They're studying history. Now, to me, I like history. I minored in history in college. But and I like it. But, I mean, I couldn't give a flip for the War of 1812. It was fought in 1812 or 1814. I think you students ought to give a flip. And then when you get out of school, quit giving a flip. I knew who was buried in Grant's tomb before I ever took history. And it's not my cup of tea. I like it, but it's not. I mean, I haven't read, I didn't read a half dozen history books all week this week. But folks who like history, what do they like there? They'll like history. Studying not a few thousand volumes on a few shelves with all the volumes of the universe open to them, with not only the history of the world, but the history of all worlds and the history of eternities, you say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say that my mama is busy today, and she's busy with the same interest that she had on earth, and your mama and your daddy and your son and your daughter and your loved one and your friend in heaven today is not flying around like a spook up there just wearing a big 10-pound crown they can't carry the load of. They're up there in a city living like we live here with the same interest that they had here. How about those that love the military? How about the soldiers? Well, they're in the army up there. You say the army? Did you ever read Revelation chapter 19 when it talks about Jesus coming? It says the armies in heaven followed him on white horses. The armies in heaven? Sure, they got a heap of battles. Help us fight down here. You're calling Elisha, was in the city of Dothan, and all of a sudden his assistant pastor got all nervous and uptight and said, "The enemy has encompassed the city, and we're in danger." Elisha just kept on drinking his milkshake, eating his cheese quarter pounder. Only 300 had been made in those days. Elisha kept on eating his cheese quarter pounder and drinking his milkshake and eating his Buster bar. And he said, "Lord, open his eyes." The Lord opened the eyes of that assistant pastor. It's the only time in history assistant pastors had his eyes open. Opened the eyes of the assistant pastor, and he looked. What did he see? He saw heaven's curtain pull back, and he saw horses and chariots and armies. Don't you recall? David spoke about the chariots of God are 20,000, and Joshua was a soldier here. I think Joshua's still in the army up there. I think Douglas MacArthur said, by the way, I think MacArthur's in heaven. Douglas MacArthur, before he died, he got a hold of my little book on Let's Go Soul Winning. He was in Japan at the time, got my book, I think that was the book, and anyway, on Roman Road of Salvation, and called his staff together. I talked to a man that was there, called his staff together, and said, "I've read something that's changed my life. I want all of you to do what this thing says do," and read it, and I asked him to read the Roman Road Plan of Salvation.
You say, what do you think MacArthur's doing in heaven today?
I think he's a general in heaven. There are battles to fight. And what are the explorers doing? Good night, can you imagine all exploring they've got to do? What are the builders doing in heaven? Well, my soul is preparing a home for us right now. I think builders are building. That's what builders did down here. Builders will do up there.
Well, how about interior decorators?
My soul, can you think of all the jobs they've got to do? They're getting ready for us. You know, I don't think the Lord in heaven just says, let there be a mansion. Oops! Lord's not a genie. It doesn't have an Aladdin's lamp. Lord says we got some work to do now. House is coming up here in 25, 30 years. Getting the finishing touches on it. I mean, they're building. I wish I could get you to realize how real all this really is. I sang this morning. The last song that Mom and I ever sang together, I sang it this morning. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. I wish I could make heaven real to you. My sister often says to me, Dr. Hiles, she often says to me, Jack, she said, Mama's death is not before she died. She said, I'm not dreading it like I used to since you made heaven so real to us in your preaching. And since she's gone, she said, it's a lot easier because you've made heaven so real to us in your preaching. I think folks walk down sidewalks up there. I think folks go to work in the morning up there. It's never work. Nobody ever sweats. And they wear tuxedos to work when they build. And fellows that lay brick, they wear Sunday clothes. And I think they go to work. I think interior decorators decorate. I think builders build. I think artists paint. I think sculptors do whatever they do. And I think that, people that love flowers down here. Can you imagine folks that love flowers down here turn loose in paradise? Can you imagine folks that love fruit down here and examining the fruit in heaven? Each tree has 12 different kinds of fruit. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? What do preachers do up there? Same thing they did down here. Nothing! That's why I'm looking forward to getting there. Why, shoot. I think they preach up there. You say, well, no sinners to get saved. I'm not preaching about getting saved right now. I'm preaching about heaven right now. I'm going to preach one sermon on what I thought it'd be and how close it is. I want to get all the people in that little church I used to pastor, Grange Hall Baptist Church. Most of them gone to heaven now. I'm going to get all the people together, and I'm going to preach to them again. I'm going to get all the people at Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, where I used to pastor, and I'm going to preach to them. I'm going to get all the people here at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and we're going to have a time, and we're going to preach. And everybody, while I'm preaching, I'm going to say, now in closing, you go, I don't close. Preach, 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 preach. And we're going to, yeah. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. The tombstone is not the terminus, but the starting point. I think when Dr. Callan gets to heaven, he's going to find out what chemistry is all about. Many of his students here wished he would find out what chemistry is all about. I think when Dr. Evans gets to heaven, he's going to have a time studying the history of Mars and the history of Saturn and the history of the moon and the history of the sun and the history of Venus. That's the planet Venus. And he's going to have a time to study history of eternity, not the history of a nation on earth that whose life of a couple of thousand years has just been a drop in the bucket, but he'll study eternal history. Think about it. What will Al Gomez do in heaven? He'll build. And what'll John Colston do in heaven? Same thing he's done here. Sleep. Stumble around. When he walks in the door, he'll stumble and fall. No. I think John Colston will still visit. I think he'll go to people who are here and visit and stay occupied. I think you're going to want to see him just as much there as you do here. What will the cook do in heaven? Can you imagine being a cook in heaven? And can you imagine eating in heaven? I was reading the Bible this morning where it says, "And there shall be no calories there." What a wonderful, blessed truth it is. Now, some of you are going to spend all afternoon looking up in the concordance, aren't you? And somebody's going to write a song, "No calories in heaven, no calories up there." What will doctors do in heaven? They'll study the healing leaves on the tree of life. And what will lawyers do in heaven? They'll finally find that true justice has come, and they'll occupy themselves with exploring true justice. On September 20th, our mama entered that city. She looked for thorns and thistles and found none. She saw the sun and she asked, "What time will it set?" And they said, "Costal, the sun will never set here again." She saw some people in holiday apparel. And she said, "When do they put on their work clothes?" And they said, "It never gets dirty here. Nobody ever gets tired here. Nobody ever gets a back that's weary. Nobody ever gets perspires. And nobody ever gets weary." And she wandered in the suburbs and she said, "Where do they bury the dead?" And they said, "Costal, nobody ever dies up here. No funeral homes. No caskets. No tombstones." She said, "Where are the poor?" "Slum areas." "Well, we've got some mansions out here only worth about $16 billion. That's where the people live that are poor." "Where are the hospitals?" "Nobody ever gets sick up here. No little child ever gets leukemia. No mother says, 'It's been hard the last few days because my boy, it's the anniversary of his death.' No young lady will ever be in a hospital taking tests, as one of our young ladies is now, wondering if it's multiple sclerosis or not. Nobody will ever go to have a physical and find out he has cancer. Terminal cancer, as our Deacon Davis did a few weeks ago. I've heard of a place that's called heaven, sweet home of the happy and free, the haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free, the haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be." He says, "What's Dr. Rice doing up there?" He's got a paper. He's writing articles against Gabriel. My mama inquired when she got to heaven. She said, "What was the Garden of Eden like?" Somebody said, "There's Adam over there. Call him and ask him. He'll tell you." My mama said, I always heard about the sun standing still. What was all that deal?" Somebody said, "Well, there's Joshua over there. Call him over and ask him." And Mama said, "Well, how did the storm pelt Sodom?" Somebody said, "There's Lot over there. He lives out in the shack in the suburbs, but he got there. And there's old Lot." She called him and asked him. Mama said, asked somebody, said, "Tell me about the Red Sea, how it boiled when it was cloven." Somebody said, "There's Moses over there. Go ask him." I think they get busy in heaven. I think they have occupation in heaven. I'm saying, as I said when I started, God never makes a person and ever changes that person's basic personality. We have all kinds of people here. I preach right now. There's some of you a tear streaming down your cheeks. And there's some of you want to have a holy fit. If you had your way, you'd run up down the aisle right now. Others of you sound asleep. Sleep in Jesus. As one old deacon said, he said, Pastor, I have confidence in you. If I didn't think you could make it on your own, I wouldn't have hired you in the first place. I'm simply saying all of us are different here. I'll preach up here sometime, and some nut from Howells Anderson College will say, that's right! Preach! Stan will holler, come on! Mrs. Ramsey will sit back there with tears streaming down her cheeks. We're different. God never changes the basic personality He gives us. When a person gets saved, he has the same temperament he had, refined, new principles, but same temperament he had. I don't use terms like this very often, but if you're sanguine here, you'll be sanguine when you get to heaven. If you're melancholy temperament here, melancholy when you get to heaven. I'm not sure about all this stuff, but God doesn't change it. I'm simply saying that when God makes or creates a nature, He never eradicates the characteristics of that personality, and so everything that is right and good and holy that you enjoy here, you still enjoy it there. If you enjoy building, God's not going to. There'll be hammers in heaven, and you hit your finger. Liquid gold will flow out, and you'll say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And all that is within me, bless His holy name. That's not what Al says. Hits his finger. He says, "Dirty bricker, back of pocket, I'm going to watch my slatter up." But, oh, they'll build there. Oh, yeah. Well, you say, but the house, I'm a housewife. What am I going to do in heaven? Same stupid thing you do here. Move that furniture all the time. That's what you're going to do. All the time. Every time your husband comes in drunk, now he misses the sofa. Same thing. You say, you mean we'll, you'll move the furniture. Except you won't have to lift it. You just push a little button. It just scoots. Yeah. You say, how about a person that likes to garden here? You think you won't have a time gardening there? No weeds? No sunflowers? I've never understood that. I'm in a chat this mood this morning. I've never understood that anyhow. What's wrong with sunflowers? Not sunflowers. Dandelions. What's wrong with dandelions? I understand it. I think you're beautiful. I wouldn't dare dig one up. If they were rare, you'd love them. But there won't be any dandelions. You think you won't have a time gardening there? You love gardening here. You love books here. You think you won't have a time at the home of truth? Huh? Let's face it, folks, and I'm through. Let's face it. We're not here very long. I was thinking this morning, when Mama's my age now, I was singing out at her burial site. Right in the corner where you are, right in the corner where you are. Someone far from the harbor you may guide across the bar. You're right in the corner where you are. She used to sing to me when she rocked me. And I got thinking. When Mama's the age I am now. I remember on 65th birthday, remember that song? When that old age pension check comes to our door, we won't eat chicken and dumplings anymore. Remember that song? One of God's great hymns of the faith. I remember Mama's 65. It won't be long till I'm, if I live, till I'm 90. It won't be long till somebody be up here and somebody else will be out there. This only a while. This only a raindrop in an ocean of eternity. This only a second in an eternity of time. We spend too much time concerned about here. I guess I just wanted to say this morning that when we get there, it'll be a lot like it is here. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His praise. In the mansions bright and blessed, He's prepared for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I'm going to put my crown on every once in a while and dress up, go to church, wear my crown. I'm going to sing Hallelujah chorus too, and as you can tell today, I'll do a good job of it. I'll sing Hallelujah, but I'm not going to sing all the time. I got some books I want to write. I got some sermons I want to preach. You say, what else are you going to do? I think I'll pastor a church. Pastor a church in heaven? Churches in heaven? Of course. Well, what we do? We'll sing. Take an offering. Make the announcements. Take another offering. Or will I get the money? Just dig the streets on the way, buddy. That's all you got to do. Thank God for heaven. Think of that old man stood right over here one day, and I'd preached on heaven. He looked at me and said, I don't believe in all that pie in the sky stuff. And I said, don't you wish you could? Great big old tears welled up in his eyes. And he said, Reverend, I'd give anything in the world if I could believe what you preached this morning. I believe it with all my heart. And I thank God that God has made it accessible to everybody by giving His Son on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, that every person who will look to Him in believing faith can be given the gift of everlasting life by their faith in Jesus Christ. I dreamed I searched heaven for you, the writer said. Search vainly in heaven for you. So won't you prepare to meet me up there. I dreamed I searched heaven for you. This morning, you can trust Christ as your Savior and be prepared just as much as I am. And God will give you as a gift, not as a reward, not as salary because you do good, not as reward because you join the church, but as a gift. It's free. God will give it. What do you do? Well, what do you usually do to take a gift, is it? You take it. You receive it. This morning, if you would say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm lost, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross and paid the penalty for my sins. And now, on that basis, I accept your gift of eternal life. The moment you do that, God will forgive every sin, write your name in heaven, make you His child, and God will get the interior decorators working on your place. Our Heavenly Father, bless our little simple message this morning about our great future. I pray you to help us to rejoice in our Christ. And I pray those who've never yet made preparation for heaven shall do so today. Hear my prayer. Our heads are bowed.